all this time, Porter, everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
To WorldCast, and we are looking at World Class Championship Wrestling, episode 67, April 9th, 1983. And man, where are we at, John?
Where are we at? Oh, well, we're at the state fair, is where we're at. We're at the state fair fairgrounds. You know, I was just thinking, where am I at? I'm at the point where I'm about to say that Bill Mercer's green and white plaid sports jacket with the yellow turtleneck is awful. It's the ugliest fucking thing I've ever seen. But no, we're at the state fair, motherfuckers. Because they're at the state fair fairgrounds, like in Dallas, at a show that I'm sort of thinking, now I looked it up. I'm like, when was the 1983 Texas State Fair? And of course, it's in the end of August, like, or early September, like everyone's is. I'm like, there was something going on, a rodeo or something going on, because this seemed more like a showcase event of this hot wrestling company we got going on in front of a lot of people who didn't seem like they were there for the wrestling, that they were there because it was an event somewhere at the state fair. That's what I put together with this, but it was a fun crowd, but it's based on some of the booking decisions, I'd say, that went on here. I'm like, what kind of a show was this?
Yeah, it always made me wonder, was it a standalone? It originally aired? Or was it something maybe they aired in a special later on in the year?
I don't know.
Because there was no build at all.
No.
Player in the ring.
Exactly.
They never talked about him coming and which Von Erich was going to wrestle. So it was.
No, they did. Mercer did in the previous episode. Remember, he mentioned Kevin casually.
You're right.
Casually mentioned Flair and Kevin were going to be next week for the title.
But then in the interview with like the Freebirds saying they were the number one contenders for the world champion.
Right. But the way it made it, you know, it sounded like the previous week it was just going to be another show from the Sportatorium. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly this one opens and it's like, wow, where are we? I wasn't sure. I thought, is this Reunion Arena? Is this a Star Wars card?
Yeah. It's the State Fair, motherfuckers.
State Fair Coliseum, apparently, in Dallas. And yeah, I looked it up too, and there was only one other wrestling show ever held in this building, and it was a WCW show in 1989. So really random. April 1st, 1983 is the date for this show. And there's matches next week's show from this card as well. So we're getting like the first half of it, I guess.
Well, I would think, and we're not giving anything away, that one's probably going to be one longer-ish match, a bunch of short stuff that doesn't seem to matter, and more cool vignettes. Because this was only three matches on this show, and one of them was a world title match. So I think this was a showcase event at this arena for some reason.
Yeah, it's kind of mysterious because, yeah, the matches are laid out really weird and, well, we'll get into it. But, yeah, it's random out of nowhere show.
Yeah, we open up with Jimmy Jam Garvin versus Mike Bond. David Von Erich comes out, challenges Jimmy Garvin for his Texas title that he's had for, what, four years, is that like?
Something like that.
That's what he said, but that's not accurate.
Right.
That's about
off and on for 4 years.
That's about as true as how many state titles that Jimmy Garvin is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're probably trying to see who the biggest liar is. So yeah. Tell us about the match and the promo, Kelly.
Oh, wow. Well, or this is interesting. Promo, I guess,
the challenge.
This whole thing, this whole match with the beginning and the end and all, and David being involved is really good. So, yeah, David comes out and challenges Garvin before the match, and it's Garvin against Mike Bond, our favorite number 7 babyface, Mike Bond, who just keeps coming back. This, oh, my God, but this is like the ultimate humiliation of a wrestler ever, almost, for Mike Bond. So, yeah, David challenges him. He's leaving. David's leaving the ring, and Garvin suckers him from behind. Great. Great little angle to add some heat to the feud. The crowd's going crazy. And putting him in this bigger building really makes the promotion seem hot. You know, it just this feels like, oh, this is an event. It feels like a Star Wars card. Really hot crowd. Probably a good 10,000, maybe? I don't know. It looked like a pretty big
crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a decent-sized building. And so here we go, Mike Bond. Well, he actually gets a go, Mike, go chant. Jesus, I mean, this is the note I made here is Dallas fans in 1983 are like the antithesis of the modern day fan.
Aren't they?
They just
anybody who comes out of that baby face
right.
room.
And
yeah,
and
they're so forgiving.
And here's the thing. You can only have the three Mike Bond fans that exist who are at that show, but they're amongst a bunch of people who've never seen this, and they're like, go, Mike, go. Well, that's what we say, right? Go, Mike.
Yeah. They get a go, Mike, go chant going.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because, you know, modern fans are the most fickle. They'll boo a baby face at the drop of a hat.
Dude, I used to boo baby faces at the drop of a hat in 1985, so come on.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not new, but this is, yeah, they're just so forgiving.
But you're the minority, John. Now that's the majority.
That is true. It's pretty much gone
hey,
that
look,
way.
Look, I was part of something that started in Philadelphia that just got a little out of control. It's not like
yeah, there you go. So it's another extended squash, but it's the most humiliating extended squash ever.
Garvin's such a Garvin, bad in it.
Yeah, I mean, sure, yeah. It's really building heat on Garvin and making him a total asshole. But Bond gets in zero offense. He's pulled up at two, I don't know how many times, 4 or 5 times. It's really sad. And then to top it all off, when Garvin is finally going to finish him off with a swinging neck breaker, it looks like Bond took the move wrong and landed on his right elbow.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's in obvious pain. So to top it off, he gets actually injured.
And he ends up as now the number 8 babyface.
Yeah, he's out of the top 10. This performance, he's below, I don't know who else there is, but
who's that new guy that's sticking around? Mike Reed.
Mike Reed.
He's going to take his Reed's spot.
I think Reed's ahead of him. After this was like a football team losing like 65-0 at home. Just total humiliation, booed off the field. It was just sad, very sad. But then we get David back into the ring.
Yeah.
And here we go. Johnny on the last episode mentioned about his notes were stuck together. Well,
Sunshine. This is what happened. This is what happened.
David.
Sunshine, no, it's Sunshine. She gets right up in David's face, slaps him, and then David bends her over his knee, and delivers a spanking to Sunshine.
Yeah, I know. Nothing fucking turns me on more than fucking beating on a woman. Ooh, that motherfucker likes two-stepping and beating women, I guess. That turns me on.
Well, it's a spanking. It's not that bad.
It doesn't age well.
No, it doesn't age well at all, but left me slightly aroused.
Hey, brother, you be you, brother.
This mouthy broad with freaking framed people's eyes. You need a spanking.
Yeah, I'm liking this show more and more every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, to me, you know, who gives a shit about Mike Bond Reed or whoever the hell it is? But you know what? This was a good segment to get to the David Garvin stuff.
Exactly.
And then we also add a little heat to the David Sunshine feud a little bit,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. David that Von Erich can't keep his hands to himself. You know, grabs another man's woman, touching her backside like that. He's a despicable heel. That's how I saw it, and Dan Shockett saw it. I literally wrote down, if I have to watch a long Mike Bond match, I'm gonna stop watching this shit. And I literally just did something else. It just. Saw the amazing first part. And here's one of the amazing first parts is Jimmy Garvin's yelling all this great stuff, taunting David Von Erich.
Yeah.
But if you listen to what he's saying, it's terrible. But it doesn't matter because he's just chanting stuff. Because
he's in the moment.
He's in the moment. But, you know, it doesn't matter because the crowd just hears noise, you know, out in the audience. But the TV, those cameras we're talking about, picks up. He's calling Davey. He's like, hey, look at him. He's such a silly boy. Ha, 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 ha. It doesn't matter because he's exactly like you said. He's selling everything facially and physically. He can just say whatever the fuck he wants. But again, these microphones are picking him up. That's great. But then when the referee finally comes and confronts him after he attacked him, he goes, quietly enough, he goes, hey, man, I was just minding my own business. I was like, ah. This the sandwich of this was like it was a great bun with shit in between yes. That I didn't watch.
Can we get a Kevin Von Erich and Ric Flair promos, Johnny? What's going on here?
Well, it takes a lot of preparation to, you know, have a match with the world heavyweight champion, you know, and I just want to let all the people out here, you know, my friends and family in Texas. Know that, you know, I'm going to be the next world heavyweight champion. And I won't let you down, but I'm not promising anything. So, what? You know, Kevin was being subdued, Kevin here. I want fired up, Kevin. So that sucked. And Flair was great. You know, Ric Flair, the world heavyweight champion, has to go wrestle at a rodeo or whatever the fuck's going on at the state fair. And he does his calm Ric Flair, you know, hyped up a bit. Because he's hyping. He's like, well, sooner or later, it'd come down to Ric Flair and another Von Erich. Well, Kevin Von Erich, that you know and everyone know, you're one of the best in the world. But you're going to be getting in the ring with Ric Flair. And that's the gist of it. And it's quick, and he knocks it out of the park. And that's why Ric Flair is the greatest.
Yeah, you know, Flair wrestles everywhere. I mean, mm-hmm. He always talks about wrestling Romero in a freaking Dodge or yep. Chevrolet dealership. So I guess this is the equivalent.
Well, no, you don't give a shit. But it's a big crowd. It's a big crowd. He's the world champion, and he's in the main event, and he has to do what he's supposed to do. And yeah. He delivers. Doesn't matter if it's in the Greensboro Coliseum or the Omni or the fucking State Fair. He's Ric Flair. So that's why I love him.
And then I know we all were like baffled on this next finish. Michael Hayes, Iceman Parsons. Hayes goes over in like a minute. But he does give a lot to Iceman with his bumping and stooging. And it's a really fun start. But then, boom, banana peel. And Hayes gets his feet on the road. 1, 2, 3. How shocked were you on this finish there, Kelly?
Well, not as shocked as I would have been if I didn't accidentally see the results of this card. Because I was looking up, you know, where is this card from, you know, trying to figure that out. So I got the card up, and then I my eyes went to the time for this match and who won, and I saw it, and so I spoiled myself. So I knew it was going to be short.
You see, Kelly, that's what, you know, research gets you instead of just random speculation about state fairs. You could have been as shocked. You could have been as shocked as Pete and I were.
Yeah. No, I would have been shocked because the Iceman's been pushed hard. He's been protected. He hasn't lost yet. But, I mean, yeah, what happens is, yeah, Iceman is kicking Hayes' ass basically all over the ring. And then he goes for Iceman goes for a flying body press. Hayes reverses it, you know, one of those roll through things. And Hayes basically lands with 2 feet on the second rope. And the referee kind of gets into the mix too. And then it's a messy banana peel fluke finish. I don't know why it only went a minute 23.
It feels like you can do that to a heel, but doing to the baby face you're pushing fresh. It's really bad. I don't get it.
And here's why I thought about that, because we talked about this on the previous show, the buildup of Iceman. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. And that was another thing that led me to wonder about what was this show? Was this even, is this, like you said, a special? Whatever this was, because Hayes beats Iceman, and like that, is this some sort of, we're building a card for an audience that might not be totally our audience, and we just want to have, here's how many good guys win, and here's how many bad guys win. This card doesn't mean anything in the general continuity. It just seemed to me, I was like, this was such a weird show. That I just don't think that's the book. I don't think the Candyman suddenly went, this is what we're doing. This is how we're going to break the streak we've already talked about, that he had an unbeaten streak. So we'll see in the future if this gets referenced again. Because I'm very curious if this even gets referenced.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I mean, I want to believe that it's going to lead to something bigger. It's a total heel win, and Hayes can brag about beating the Iceman, where everyone knows that, yeah, it was a fluke and he had to cheat. So he's going to build heat that way. And so we'll see. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here, because I don't want to think that this is the beginning of like some catastrophic descent. No, and it's not.
You don't want to be like those modern fans, Kelly.
Exactly.
I literally only had time to write down 3. At the 3 count, like, what the fuck? But you did hear a guy at ringside yell at Hayes, "You motherfucker!" and then they cut to a promo that he cuts, but he cuts it later after the crowds are filing out. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, "I told you, you don't slap a Freebird," and they insert that in there as if it happened right after the match. So, again, what is this show again? I'm fascinated as to what this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of the promo, John?
That's just it. He just basically said that, you know, he referenced the fact that he got slapped before, so he's a stickler for continuity. At least there's that. You don't slap a Freebird. Then I forgot this. Maybe I wanted to forget this until I just looked down at my notes. He's like, again, I taught that boy, you don't slap me, and maybe next time I'll brand you. And I'm like, what the fuck? That's just the racist cherry on top of the promo from last week. So, again, that's just crazy, too. I'll brand you? What are you, Terry Funk? Come on.
What do you think of the promo, Kelly?
No, I don't really have any thoughts on the promo, but I just was thinking a bit more about the booking here.
Yeah.
Maybe the idea is that you don't want the Iceman to be undefeated, because then you start to set up expectations that he's got to start winning titles and that sort of thing. Or fans would be questioning, why isn't he getting title shots? And that's not what they have planned, right? They have
planned. No, you know, I don't mind him losing to Michael Hayes, but I'd like to see him work 12 minutes or 10 minutes or at least make it competitive.
Right.
Match, I just scratched my head about.
You know, here's the thing. Yeah. If this was a match that's being taped for TV at the Sportatorium, this finish would not have happened. I'm confident in that. So curious about the that's why I'm so curious about the circumstances of the show.
Yeah, I don't believe that would happen. And that's the whole thing is I was wondering if it was televised originally, because a lot of times they treat these shows like Elseworlds or type of show.
No, I think it was televised. I think it was televised.
So to me, if it's televised, so everyone can see it in your territory.
It just seems like they had a restriction on time.
Oh, there was live. a huge time restriction.
The main event, the NWA title match, only gets like 12 minutes. And it's totally Cole's notes or Cliff Notes version of a long NWA title match, right? And the next match we're going to talk about only goes a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. So I think there was definitely some time restrictions for whatever reason.
I agree with that.
The Demolition Derby was going to happen in 45 minutes. They needed to get done.
Who knows?
They definitely were out of time because I'm sure there was other acts. It's kind of like a music festival in a way.
Yeah, it was part of a bigger thing. Yeah.
It really feels that way to me. I'm not even joking.
Yeah. No, I think we're on to something. Who knows if we'll ever solve this mystery. We maybe have to take it to Twitter and see if we can find some people who were fans back then who know what happened.
And then we go to Jimmy Garvin at the beauty shop. This is sticky as sticky gets. Awesome. What do you think, John?
This is amazing. Okay, you got gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, and he's at the beauty shop. Oh, by the way, also, it's amazing. And also, some more racism for every...
Yes.
But let's just start with Jimmy Garvin is at the beauty shop. He's having his hair done. He's having his shoes shined, and he's getting a manicure. And all at the same time, and given his hair, he looks like... In the Wizard of Oz, when they arrive at the Emerald City,
he's like the lion.
Yeah, exactly. He's the lion when they're cleaning him up. It's when the lion goes, "That certain air of savoir faire in the merry old land of Oz." It's awesome. But the lion wasn't wearing the Texas heavyweight title over his apron. Which Jimmy Garvin is doing. It's fucking fantastic. And then he's introducing his staff and he's like, "This is Gina, my hairstylist. You know, hey Gina." And there's, you know, Christine's doing my nails.
Sunshine
doing his nails? Okay. And then the African American gentleman who only the back of his head you see because they have a black guy giving him a shoe shine. And he goes, "That's my main man, John. How you doing, John?" And John basically, he doesn't raise up his head. He goes, "Huh?" And he goes, "Hey, John, great. Hey, John, great." And John just like, "I can't believe shit." "All right, John." But then Bill Mercer, he brings up, he's like, "You know, Bill, I've won more state championships than anyone ever. It's been documented." And Bill's all in. He's like, "Yes, it sure has." And now I didn't write these down in the order. Kelly, did you?
No.
Bill says, "Well, yes, you've held the Florida and the Georgia. And what are the other ones?" Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin.
Yeah, Montana is one of them.
Exactly. No, I wrote them all down. I just don't have them. He goes, "Well, there's the Mississippi and the Louisiana and the California and the North Carolina and the South Carolina and the Montana and the New York."
New York.
The Montana and the New York? And he says it with just utter sincerity. And Bill Mercer's like, "Oh, yes, the Montana title. I've heard of it." But I had to get to W World Class Championship Wrestling because that's where the action's at. And I love this. Minus, here's the thing about shit like John the Shoeshine Guy. I'm not offended. I love watching stuff that's of its age, but I will make fun of it. But John's no-selling of being any part of this fucking bullshit made this even better. But God, this established the character of Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. I loved it.
Yeah, me too. Great
segment. Yeah, I thought it was a great segment. I mean, it popped me. What about you, Kelly?
Yeah. The belt, having the belt over the apron the or whatever you want to call it.
Smock? What do you call it? What do you call what the barber puts on you?
Yeah, I was trying to... Smock? No. There's, I don't know. Yeah, I couldn't think of it, but it's great. Great cocky promo.
Then we get Kabuki versus Yatsu in a Dragon Shy match.
I thought it was Dragon Shaw, or did they?
Maybe so.
No. There's just no one knows how to pronounce
it. No one knows. I've heard it like three different
ways. We could call it Dragon Suck Match.
There you go.
What'd you make of it, Kelly? Obviously, I thought it sucked.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was hyped up for it. They built this for weeks.
Yeah, they have. You're gonna do a job building a shit match.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is.
Yeah, you can't be 100% about 100%. I mean,
well, the story behind it basically is this is Kabuki's last match in the territory. So that, yeah, until 1984, the Creative Champions show. So he's gone for a year.
Okay, because I was about to bring up with some of the theory about the State Fair. I'm like, maybe they already did it, and this was the touring version of it. So, but no, this was the one that puts out Kabuki for good, really.
Yeah. No, this was his last match. Explains also, yeah, the clean job to the Iceman the previous week. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's, you know, clearly going out of the territory. Puts over Yatsu, but of course does it in a very unconvincing, unimpressive way. So it's a Dragon Shy match where basically you have to gain control of a kendo stick that David Manning places in the middle of the ring. And they charge for it. Kabuki gets it first. It starts off pretty good. Kabuki gives Yatsu a great thrust kick, grabs this kendo stick, you know, wallops him a few times with it. Then Yatsu gains control of the stick. And what happens? Kabuki jumps off the top rope, gets hit with a stick,
in the throat.
Falls outside. Yeah, I guess it was in the throat. Looks all right. Falls outside, and we get a dreaded countout finish at 2 minutes and 14 seconds. Yeah, this reminded me of that match in WCW where Sid, it was his last match in WCW where he lost to, who was it?
A lot of this stuff feels like it's Vince Russo book.
Well, that wasn't like Russo.
I got in my time traveling DeLorean, bro, and went down to book with Fritz in 1983. He needed me for the State Fair, bro.
it's very skit heavy, promo heavy, not a lot of match heavy.
It totally deflated the crowd because the crowd was hot.
That makes me wonder if this was a coincidence that when Kabuki says, "Hey, I'm leaving," then they're like, "Well, this is when we're finishing you in 2 minutes at that State Fair show." It seemed like something they'd save for the Sportatorium or reunion. It's odd.
Yeah, maybe he. Yeah, maybe it was like a quick thing where he was leaving sooner than they thought or something. Because, yeah, it's pretty... Or maybe
he'd been doing this all around the horn, and now, I mean, this is just after the last show.
Well, that's maybe. What I thought, because I thought the length of it also was given to the time restrictions of whatever this is. because number one, the rules are ridiculous, and at least the way Lorenz is trying to explain the rules to this this crowd of hicks who this crowd of people who I don't know what's going on, but they know this is an attraction. We're gonna put the two Asian guys out there, and there'll be kendo sticks and stuff, and that's hot. The kids will dig it, and the crowd will go nuts, and they do. They get behind Kabuki because in the 2 minutes they do this, Kabuki clearly plays babyface.
And he gets to use nunchucks.
It started off
clearly plays babyface. And I honestly feel that most of them didn't know that Kabuki was the bad guy. He's clearly the cooler. He's the cooler looking character. He's got the nunchucks, but the green hands and the mist and everything. He looks cool, and the other guy, Yatsu, really doesn't. And that's why they're cheering for him. But it's shocking to me. I thought this was just the touring version of this. This is his last. Maybe this made him quit. Who knows? That's fascinating.
Yeah, no.
This show doesn't appear again
until the Parade of Champions show.
The State Fair show is becoming more and more fascinating.
Yeah, it's a truly strange show in the history of
wrestling. We get a main event of Ric Flair versus Kevin Von Erich.
Yeah.
Well, we got a little Monica Hunter first.
This is what happened here.
Well, she's trying to talk to somebody. Kabuki's trying to get up. Someone yells at Kabuki, "Get up, you son of a bitch." This is when she's wearing her professional broadcaster outfit, I believe.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, and she I can't remember who she's interviewing, but then
Hussein and Yatsu.
That's right, but then when she looks to throw to the camera for the World Heavyweight Championship match, Pete just mentioned.
She is marble mouth.
She goes, and next the World Heavyweight Champion. No, she didn't have that much inflection. The World Heavyweight Champion. And ship. It was like, what is this? Someone owed someone a job, because you just don't put someone on television who's that bad. I don't understand it.
You are nothing.
Brother, there's only one thing that I just like to mention. These two gentlemen, they are the wildness as they look. The greatest.
We confess, we the best, and we speaking from the eagle's nest. Higher top, get your soul, we possess Nokia. These women, they be blowing up my Nokia. Double axe handle, Randy Savage, oh yeah.
All right, boys, it's time for the weekly plugs. Check out ProWrestlingOnly.com to explore other podcasts, along with match reviews, features and retrospectives, reviews of wrestling books, video games, and matches, playlists, wrestler appearances in non-wrestling TV shows and movies, and more. You can also join the conversation by signing up at the PWO Forum. We've been online for over a decade, with over 2,000 registered members, and an archive of over 4 million threads. I think it's supposed to be 4,000, but whatever. Our message board is a vibrant community all its own. Whether you want to talk about a specific match in our match discussion archive, take a deep dive in the Microscope Forum, or discuss more general topics from wrestling's past and present, check out all of this and more at www.prowrestlingonly.com. And now, this week in Pro Wrestling Only, PWO, feed, network, whatever you want to call it, podcasts. First off, we have Through the Years, episode 29. This is the ROH retrospective podcast. This one's called Main Event Spectacles. The boys on this show are looking at Briscoe's first tag team title win. We're looking at AJ Styles versus Bryan Danielson. Wow, that's a topical match to look at these days. We're looking at Low-Ki and Teddy Hart behaving badly. Check that show out. Greetings from Allentown. Peter Winson this week looking at WWF Mania from January 30th, 1993. This show covers a whole bunch of different things, but one thing of historical significance that it does cover is the legendary first meeting between Vince McMahon and Todd Pettengill. Wow. Big moment, folks. Also this week, TV time remaining, we'll have their second episode. This is the new show looking at the Mid-South promotion from the early 80s in a chronological order, just like this cool show WorldCast does. Check that out. And, of course, my man Pete, and Timothy on This Week in Wrestling. This week we have a loaded show. They're looking at MLW Fusion 32. They're looking at NXT UK and NXT proper like they always do. They are looking at a bunch of matches, one including Artemis Spencer, who's a local Vancouver area wrestler for ECCW, so it's cool to see him getting some love on a show like this. And they also have an interview with the CEO of Action Wrestling, Matt Griffin. Wow, big time show for the boys on This Week in Wrestling. And now time for the main event.
Well, let's get to the meat of it. Ric Flair, Kevin Von Erich.
Yeah.
Kelly, what's going on, man? One potato, three potato, four. This was like, to me, it was like a mesh of a Kevin Von Erich match with, and then it looked like Flair's trying to work while Kevin, like, really punching him in the face.
I love this match.
Yeah.
I liked it because Flair, did a lot of stuff to put Kevin over, like the head scissors and all that. And the crowd was hot for this.
Totally.
I like Flair stomping on Kevin, and I like a lot of Kevin's reversals in this. But yeah, it was a lot of back and forth. There wasn't like the normal Ric Flair where you, because Kevin doesn't have the patience to work that formula, which is long shine, long heat segments. And here we get this like real back and forth fight, and it's different for totally different from the Flair formula. What are your thoughts, Kelly?
Yeah, I'd never seen this match before. I know it's pretty highly regarded. It finished number 8 on the DVD VR.
That's the Harley Race match, I think.
No. No, I checked that. The Harley Race match that's coming up in, a couple months? I think finished number 5. Okay. This match is number 8, so yeah.
I didn't like it as nearly as much as everyone else.
I loved this match, but we'll
get to that. Yeah, I really liked it, too. It's definitely one of the best matches we've seen, I think. Super hot crowd. Yeah, it's 10, 12 minutes. They cut right to the chase. There's no wasted time at all. It's a total fight.
And Flair bleeds like a mofo at the finish.
But Ric Flair, we'll just cut to it. Ric Flair, because he's... what Ric Flair's doing right here is... I just want to bring this up while it's on my mind, and I'm sorry. When you mentioned the potatoes, there is a spot here where Ric Flair gives one back to Kevin, and Kevin goes, "You broke my nose," and you hear it, and he's sort of like sucking air, and when Flair gets him in the corner, he gives him two little paps, little on the ribs, saying, "Slow down, I've got this," because he knows how much time they have, and... From then on in, the potatoes stopped and this match got tight because Ric Flair took over in the ring. I just love this.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like I need to rewatch it.
Mm. Yeah, I'm surprised.
I liked it.
No, I
probably do need to rewatch it.
Yeah, because I'm surprised. I thought this would be right up your alley, Pete. I mean,
I enjoyed it. I mean, I liked it in like the 3-star range, but you guys are making it sound.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I just feel that it's a Ric Flair. It's a Ric Flair performance that's unbelievable. Knowing exactly what he's doing in there, because here's what brother you mentioned. He bleeds at the end after it's over because the crowd's gonna get the Ric Flair bleeding and they're gonna get that, and so he does it at the end of this 12-minute match because he's a pro and gets it all in.
It might be I'm a little under the weather when I watched it, so it's possible.
I understand, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, so we've seen Flair and Kerry. We've seen Flair and David. Now we get Flair and Kevin. So, yeah, I was pretty hyped for this one. First time matchup between the two of them. We get Mercer hyping, as he always does, impending arrivals of wrestlers.
I was waiting. I was waiting to hear who's never going to be there. Is there one? One of them.
Well, there's one that's going to be here very soon and is going to make a pretty big impact on the territory. Gentleman Chris Adams.
My favorite wrestler is growing up as a kid.
Okay,
there you go.
Let me ask you something. When he turns on the Von Erichs, did you still like him?
Oof. I was living in Houston at the time, so I really didn't see it live when it happened.
Oh, okay. Plausible deniability, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. You just don't want to be a fair weather fan. If he was your favorite wrestler, surely just turning on Von Erich and taking on Gary Hart as his manager wouldn't make you change your mind, would it?
Yeah, I saw that in hindsight. I didn't see it live at the time. I was in Houston.
I know. I'm teasing.
Yeah.
And Chavo Guerrero is the other man coming to the territory.
Yeah. He just has a cup of coffee.
Oh, so he actually does show up.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
I thought maybe he got lost and ended up in the alternate dimension that Dizzy Hogan and Fishman are in.
Texas limbo. Yeah. Yeah, crowd's hot for this. We get a claw early, but Flair escapes after an elbow to the gut. Then we get a sleeper. They're going right to the big guns. This is an unusual NWA title match that's fought like a sprint. Then we get Bronco getting squashed on a crossbody attempt by Kevin. And then Flair, he's trying to elbow Kevin. He accidentally elbows Bronco. So Bronco gets double squashed. And this is where Kevin gets tossed. Kevin gets thrown over the top rope first. Yeah. And then rammed into the ring post. And Bronco didn't see that. So that would have been a DQ. And then we get a pretty good false finish here because I thought this was going to be it. I thought Kevin was going to be counted out here because it would make sense. Bronco was knocked unconscious, missed the shenanigans. And Kevin just gets in basically at the count of nine.
Right.
So the crowd is totally nuts at this point. Because the crowd bit on it being the finish, too. Mm-hmm. They think, oh, no, Kevin's going to win now. And that's when they make the announcement it's only 10 minutes in. And it's been just going, 100 miles per hour at this point. Bronco gets bumped another time, and he's sent out of the ring. This is where Flair gets tossed over the top rope twice. And so he, has a long time. Fans of wrestling watching a ton of wrestling, you know what's gonna eventually happen. David Manning was out there, and the asshole he doesn't DQ Kevin at that point, even though he saw it in kayfabe, he saw what happened. So he's of course totally staying with his boys, the Von Erichs. This is where Flair's busted open, and then at the end we get a huge crossbody off the top rope by Kevin. This was a huge moment. Like, if this was the title change, this would have been an all-time classic moment because the pop is huge. Everybody's just so happy. But of course, it's a dusty finish. Mm-hmm. Bronco did see Flair getting tossed over the top, which is a DQ by NWA rules. And so Flair retains. He gets the belt and starts screaming, "It's mine! It's mine!
It's mine!" It's after he blades. He blades just so he can do his bloody, "It's mine!
Yeah.
It's mine!" the spot.
Yeah, that was a great visual right there. Yeah, I thought this was a great match. Maybe I'm overrating it. I went 4.25.
To be honest, a lot of people liked it because it got voted high at the things. So
rewatch. Yeah. It's got, great action, super hot crowd, Flair, in his prime. Like Johnny said, like, this was a great Flair performance. And Kevin, held his own. It's got an unusual structure to it, unique structure to it, short for an NWA title match. The ref bumps, lots of drama. Yeah. I think this was a really great match and one of the best we've seen.
With no build up. With no build. The only thing this match didn't have was build up. It's a state fair match or something. Because, Kerry Von Erich gets him at Reunion. Kevin gets him at the state fucking fair, and they have a great match. And I've already talked about Flair and the potatoes. But when Manning showed up, I went, oh, now I know what's going to happen. Because, and to be honest, it wasn't, I wasn't leaning into the whole fucking David Manning. He saw what they were doing. He cheats with the Von Erichs. No, this was because I've read this sort of finish, this NWA finish has been described to me by reading Pro Wrestling Illustrated, Sports Review Wrestling, the whole Aftermath family for so many years. I go, oh, I know what they're doing here. I know exactly what's going on because they don't want to do a count out. They don't want to do anything. This is a different audience. They're going to give them a fake title change. You're going to see a Von Erich hold up that belt. And it's a type of screw job title change.
Not just Avon Eric, both of them. David comes out to celebrate, too.
David, yep, he's out there, too. He's wanted, boom. And all I was thinking was, this is a really effective one because I feel like, oh, no. Because Kevin's my favorite Von Erich. I loved this match. Even though I knew what was going to happen, it worked on me. I was like, that's some good shit. That I really enjoyed this match.
Anything you want to plug there, Kelly?
No, just this match. Anybody listening, this is on what episode is this? 67?
Yep.
67 of WCCW on the network, April 9th, 1983. Fast forward to the main event and watch it. It's a great match.
John, anything you want to mention?
No, yeah, here's one thing I want to mention. I want to mention Bill Mercer describing what's coming up for the next show. He's listing the matches. And when he's like, so-and-so is going to wrestle so-and-so, and so-and-so will face so-and-so. And then he just says, and David Von Erich and Terry Gordy will be handcuffed together. Good night. I was like, what the fuck's going on at that ranch?
Here's a spoiler for you. Ric Flair cuts a promo on David Manning.
Oh, really?
Yep. On the next show.
Oh, oh yeah. God, I can't wait. I can't wait.
That's the real main event.
That sounds like the real main. Oh.
Everyone have a great week. Follow me at Titans of Wrestling. Later.
Okay, Pete, here, get to bed. Get well.
Yeah, get bed. Get well, man.
My heartaches and troubles are just up and gone. The moment that you come in view, and with your hand in mine, dear, I could dance on and on, and I could waltz across Texas with you. Across Texas with you in my arms, waltz across Texas with you, like a storybook ending, I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.